WGST, The Sully Show, weekdays, noon to 2. Every Friday, a little bit after 1 o'clock, Limpert Tech. Talk with Rick Limpert, the quarterback at Limpert Tech. Their undefeated season continues. Getting ready for an off week this weekend, but a big game coming up against their big rival, in-state rival in North Carolina. How are they going to do next week, Rick?
It's going to be tough. Luckily, we have a bye week this week to prepare, and it'll be a challenge like every game.
We are talking right now to the number one sports technology writer in the country. That's a fact.
That and $3 will give me a cup of coffee at Starbucks. So.
And Rick Limpert joins us from that undisclosed Starbucks location. I know the paparazzi discovered your other one. You had to move.
I had to shift gears a little, Sully, and move about 5 miles to the west. So I'm at a new Starbucks, and I'm definitely undercover here.
Rick, you spent a little time recently before we start with this week's segment in Jacksonville, Florida. Thousands of people descend on Jacksonville for the Georgia-Florida game coming up in just a little bit. Talk about that city, your experience down there. What did you learn?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that this week a lot. And it's just a really vibrant city. I was really impressed. It's kind of a smaller version of Atlanta. And like you said, this week coming up, there'll be 130,000 crazy football fans heading down there. And it's a big economic shot in the arm for the economy there.
And for those of you who like to keep up with current sponsorship names of all the stadiums, the stadium in Jacksonville as of right now is called EverBank Field, and it is home to the world's largest scoreboards, really?
Yeah, I think the scoreboards at Jerry World in Dallas get most of the publicity, but the world's two largest scoreboards are actually in Jacksonville at EverBank Field. They're huge. They're 21,700 square feet of display space on these scoreboards, and you can kind of turn them in, break them up into multiple scoreboards, or keep it as one. They are humongous.
60 by 362 are what these things are, with a price tag of $63 million. It's about $40 million less than the Atlanta streetcar.
Well, then they're getting a bargain, I guess. So it's, 362 feet wide. So if you break that down, that's larger or longer than the entire football field. So these are massive displays, and they really have a vibrant picture on them. You'd love to have this in your backyard.
Must have been cool for you to be down there, too, as we chat with Rick Limpert, two of your big passions, sports and technology. The stat programs and data analytics down there, talk a little bit about that.
You'll like this, though, because this is showing some forward thinking. The city government down there has a concept where they gather data from a CompStat program. So this is a management technique. It's a little high-tech. What they actually use this data to make improvements in the city. They use the analytics to measure performance. They look at where the city can be improved from an infrastructure point of view, and then they put it into action. So it helps utilities, public safety, and enables real-time decision-making. So very forward-thinking from the city officials down in Jacksonville.
Goodness, we need a good steady dose of that up here in Atlanta, I'll tell you that.
It's fantastic, that program down there.
Really is. Hopefully we can spend a few dollars on that instead of a new streetcar here in Atlanta. By the way, the US DOT is getting ready to possibly give Atlanta another $30 million for the streetcar to help the fledgling Atlanta streetcar. Okay, end of rant on the streetcar. and back to the focus on Limpert Tech. Rick Limpert, of course, on Twitter, his handle Rick Roswell. What is this OneSpark Jacksonville?
Again, more forward thinking from the people in Jacksonville. OneSpark is the world's largest crowdfunding festival. So crowdfunding are platforms like Kickstarter and Indiegogo, where people have an idea and they try to get people to help them fund it. Well, this whole conference takes over Jacksonville, the downtown area for a weekend. And what they do is the inventors bring their product to Jacksonville, where people can actually see and hold and touch them before they invest in them. So this is a huge conference over 3 days. There'll be maybe around 100,000 to 200,000 people attending. And Jacksonville, you wouldn't think of them as a high-tech hub of the Southeast, but these programs and events they have really help their cause.
More information on that at onespark.com. It goes down April 7th through the 9th there in Jacksonville, Florida. it got to be like Bonnaroo, essentially, for, you know, for tech and inventors. 200,000 people there over 3 days.
Bonnaroo for geeks, Sully. This is, I'm hoping to get down there next year for it. This is something I wanted to check out, and it's, you know, it's more than just a tech and crowdsourcing festival. They bring in, you know, food trucks and all sorts of other things that people can try, and it's a huge event. People come from all over the country for Jacksonville that weekend.
Well, if you go down there, I'm going to suggest that powers that be at WGST see if there's a way that we might be able to tag along with you and do a live broadcast down there as well.
I'm penciling it in, Sully.
And while you're thinking about that back there in the office listening, management of WGST, perhaps you can let us stay and provide some accommodations for us at the Omni Jacksonville Hotel.
Luckily, I know the good people at the Omni Jacksonville Hotel, Sully. This is a high-tech hotel in downtown Jacksonville. It's the closest hotel to all the action down there. The rooms have been redone, HDTVs, fast internet, and then this fall they have a stocking stuffer package where they get a discount on rates, you get a gift card, and actually a chance to give back with your stay to various charities in the area. So this is through the end of the year. And again, I mean, Jacksonville seems ahead of the curve a lot of times on even some of the bigger cities that they compete with on taking care of their guests.
It's pretty phenomenal. I'm checking out some of the pictures of the property right now. It looks awesome. And, oh, by the way, the Jacksonville Zoo is an attraction down there, jacksonvillezoo.org. If you're visiting Jacksonville for a football game or anything else, be sure to check out the zoo. It's quite impressive.
Yeah, I recommend this. If you're going to be in town for the Florida-Georgia game, you got a few hours or a half day to spend. The Jacksonville Zoo is very cool. They've hosted almost a million visitors last year. And that, you want to look ahead of time. They are very active on social media, which you'll love, Sully. Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube videos, where you can see what's going on at the zoo. And, you know, it's a very easy zoo to get around, pretty inexpensive. And it's great to see and appreciate the animals sometimes and get away from sports and our hurried life.
You can follow Rick Limpert on Twitter. His handle, Rick Roswell. Rick's website, ricklimpert.info. Jacksonville is a connected city. What does that mean?
In more ways than one. They are becoming a main connection point along the ocean, the subsea and the terrestrial cables that move data into North America and across the ocean. So this is going to be big. A lot of fiber optic stands. There'll be more cables going live by the end of 2015 than most other cities. And it's, again, just showing that Jacksonville's trying to attract people to go there and live. They're trying to attract businesses. They're trying to attract Fortune 500 companies, and they're making sure the infrastructure and the way data is moved in and out of Jacksonville is capable of handling everything. So this is a city action, Sully, unlike some cities we know where they get things done.
The stats on this Jacksonville network access point, the NAP, are pretty staggering. Talk about what some of the numbers are here.
Well, 550,000 miles of total global cable. Now, you can break that down any way you want, but that's a huge number. And these aren't just, you know, out-of-date cables that they're laying just to get rid of it. This is all the new, the latest stuff, better connectivity, better conductivity, and reliability in moving large amounts of data through Jacksonville and into Jacksonville and out of Jacksonville. You know, we hear about the cities that get all those fiber optic networks, and then you don't hear much more about it. But Jacksonville keeps improving on what they have. They don't stop. They want to have the latest and the greatest, and you know, they're impressing me with what they're doing.
Yeah, and I see too that more companies in the IT sector are becoming interested in being there because of this.
It's only natural. There are certain advantages to living in Florida, which we know. There's no state income tax. And then when they can offer other things on the surface, that's the way they get businesses there. Jacksonville is a huge shipping hub, as you know, Sully. It's along the coast. They have beaches. They offer a lot. But they're also a business hub and a banking hub of Florida and the Southeast. And they're looking to even expand on that and take that to another level. So just a lot going on. Jacksonville, but I don't know if you've been downtown Jacksonville, Sully, but it's really easy to get around. They have a transportation system down there. They have nice parks and a lot of business. So I think it's heading in the right direction.
I cannot wait until downtown Atlanta is described in that same way, Rick.
As has it ever been described in that way? I mean, maybe at one time. I mean, I think Atlanta downtown has made some strides.